Okay, today's daf is Bav Metzia daf Samech Hey. We left off on daf Samech Hey. We're on daf Samech Hey. At Aleph, we are about 6-7 lines from the top of the page. Says the Gemara, we are at Amar Abaye. Last run line is Amar. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Hey man, the masik zuze de ribisa bechavre. If a person owes his friend ribis, meaning they made a deal that he's actually going to charge interest, and he's charged interest, and now he wants to pay him the interest, he wants to pay him the money, v'ka'azli chiti arba'a grivi bezuza b'shuka, and it happens to be that wheat costs 4 measures of wheat for 1 zuz in the market, and instead of giving him money, what he did is, v'yavle iu chamisha, for each zuz of ribis that he owes him, instead of giving him a zuz, and instead of giving him the value of a zuz in wheat, four measures of wheat, he gave him 5 measures of wheat. Yavle iu chamisha. He gave him 5 measures of wheat for each zuz that was owed. So the borrower gives the lender a little bit extra wheat rather than giving him cash and rather than giving him the exact value of the ribis. So now, when we want to make the lender pay the borrower back the ribis, we want to take it away from him, because let's assume it's because we know the halacha is when it's ribis katsutza, we are motzi in miyado, we take it away from him, we make the lender give it back to the borrower. So what are we going to make him give back? Says Abaye, arba'a mafkinan mine. We're only going to make him give back 4 measures of wheat for each zuz. Idach ozuli huduka mozl gabei. The extra measure of wheat, we assume he was just giving it to him for cheap, and that was that's not part of the ribis. Only the 4 measures of wheat that are actually worth the amount of money that he was charging for the ribis, only that is considered to be to having been given b'toras ribis. The rest, we assume, was not given b'toras ribis. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, chamisha mafkina minei, dmei kar b'toras ribisa soiliadei. No, everything was given b'toras ribis. He was giving him, not only was he paying him the ribis that they agreed upon, but he was assuming that, again, he wasn't giving cash. So since he's giving wheat, if he owed him 1 zuz and he gave him 5 measures of wheat, what he was essentially doing was saying that I'm going to sell you 5 measures of wheat for a zuz, and therefore you're taking these 5 measures of wheat for that 1 zuz of ribis, but all 5 measures of wheat are part of the ribis. So Rava says you have to give it all back because it was all really part of the ribis. Says Gemara Vayter, Va'am Rabaye, another halacha, Hay man de masik arba'a zuzi de ribisa b'chavrei. If a guy owes his friend 4 zuz of ribis, v'yavle glima b'gavayu, and instead of giving him 4 zuz of ribis, he instead gives him a coat, he gives him a shirt, he gives him a piece of clothing. So ki mafkin mine, arba mafkin mine, glima la mafkin mine. So the question is, when we're going to take the ribis away from him, what do we take away? Do we take away the coat, or do we take away money? So we say, look, you got to pay back the dalad zuz, which was the ribis that he owes you, or that he had paid you. Or do we say, no, he didn't pay you money, he paid you the coat, so give back the coat. So Abaye says, you take back money from him, you don't have to take back the coat, let him keep the coat. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, glima mafkinan minei, take back the coat from him. My timer, why would you take back the coat from him? After all, the coat was only seen as the value of money, which was for ribis, so why can't he just give back money? Because we don't want people to say, as this guy walks around in a nice shirt or a nice jacket, everyone's going to say, oh, you see that nice jacket he's wearing? That's a jacket of ribis. That's something that he got by only through the means of ribis. So in order not to have that, it's a chilul Hashem issue. In order not to have that chilul Hashem, that he's going to walk around with a coat that has like a stamp of ribis on it, so we don't want him to keep the coat, we make him give back the coat. But May Ikra Din, really, he should have only had to give back the money. He certainly should not have had to give back the coat. So in fact, the Shara Melech brings a raya from here that the Malva is Zocha Beribis, that he's Kona the Ribis, and it's Mefurish in the Ritva that way, that he's technically, he'd be entitled to keep it. The Machna Ephraim, however, is Docha the Raya, and he says, no, he's not Zocha Beribis. Over here, the fact that he doesn't have to return the Talis, Mikra Din, that he doesn't have to return the Glima, Mikra Din, is because the way we view the giving of the coat is as if it was a separate transaction, meaning it's as if the Lovis sold the Malva the Talis on the Tanai that he's never going to bother him for the Ribis. So we view it as a separate transaction, not as if it were the Ribis payment itself. And therefore the Malva is entitled to keep the coat. He's entitled to actually keep the towels. He's entitled to keep the garment, because we view it as if it was a separate transaction and not the ribbis itself. That's why Me'ikar Adin, he's allowed to keep it. But if something were an actual ribbis payment, then we would never say Me'ikar Adin, you'd be allowed to keep something that were actually ribbis. That's how the Machna Ephraim writes in Dine Ribbis. Says Gmar Vaiter, Amar Rava, Hayman de Masik Tresar Zuzi de Ribisa Bechavrei. A guy owes 12 zuz of ribbis to his friend. So in order to pay it, instead of paying it in cash, he does the following. Va'agar lechatsa de mitgar ba'asara. He has a chatsa that he could rent for 10 zuz, and its price, its value, for its rental value is 10 zuz. Va'agar ne'ale b'tresar. And he says, you know what, let me rent it to you, and we'll assume that the price to rent it is 12 zuz, meaning I'm going to charge you a lot to rent it, except you won't have to pay me, because that's how much ribbis I owe you anyway. So we'll call it even. Meaning, really, the guy who's owed the ribbis, assuming if ribbis were legal, the guy who's owed the ribbis is really drawing the short end of the bargain over here. Because really, he's owed 12 zuz, he's getting something whose market value is only 10 zuz, but they're calling it 12 zuz. So he's saying, look, I'll rent you the field, the chatzar, for 12 zuz, but you don't have to pay me because it's a ribbis payment. Okay, so kimaf kinar minei, now we want to take away the ribbis payment from the lender, because he's not allowed to collect the ribbis payment, so we want to take it away from him. So what do we take away from him? Do we take away 10 zuz from him, because that's the actual value of the benefit that he got? Or do we take away 12 zuz from him, because that's what they called it, and that was the ribbis that was owed to him? So Tresar Mafkinan Mineh, they take away 12 zuz from him. Amrle Ravacha Midifti the Ravina, Ravacha Midifti says to Ravina, why is that fair? Velemale, why can't he say, Ki Agra Hachi da have a Kamishtar Shili? The reason I was willing to pay 12 zuz for this rental, when I knew it was only worth 10 zuz, was because it was all profit for me. I wasn't losing anything, because I knew I didn't really have to pay anything, and this was all profit from my investment, from the fact that the guy owed me that amount of ribbis. You think I really, if I was in the market looking for a field to rent and I had to actually pay out of pocket for it, you think I ever would have paid 12 zuz for it? Hashta de lo mishtar shili ki da agri kuli almuhu da agarna. Now that I am not going to profit from it, because you're not allowing me to keep the ribbis money, so I'd really just rather pay like everybody else pays. I don't want to pay a higher price now. I never would have agreed to pay a higher price had I known that I was actually going to have to pay out of pocket. There was no intent at all to pay out of pocket. So the answer is the Gemara, no. Mishum da amalei savarta v'kibalta. You know what ribbis is. You knew exactly what you're getting into. You knew the halachas of ribbis. You knew that you're not allowed to take ribbis. And you agreed that this is the price that you were going to take, that this was all 12 zuz. So there's no, it doesn't matter that you would not have entered the deal otherwise. This was the deal. The deal was that this rental is going to be valued at 12 zuz. End of story. Nothing else to discuss. So that's how we would paskin. Says the Mishnah, new Mishnah. Marbin al aschar ve'in marbin al amecher. That we are allowed, the Mishnah is going to explain what this means. You're allowed to be marba on a rental, but not on a sale. Ketzad. What in the world does that mean? So, number one, a guy rents his field to somebody, his chatzer, his courtyard to somebody, and he says to him, look, if you want to pay the rental fee up front, you wanted to give me the rental fee for the whole year up front, I'll give it to you for 10 slaim for the whole year. But if you want to work out a normal rental arrangement, where rent is due every month at the end of the month, ve'im shel chodesh b'chodesh sela l'chodesh. But if you want to pay me on a monthly basis, it's going to be one sela for each month. Obviously, 12 months in a year, it's going to turn out to be 12 selas for the whole year. Mutter, that's mutter. Meaning, essentially, what he's telling him, the Gemara is going to have to explain why this is mutter, because essentially what he's telling him is, you pay up front, your price is 10 selas for the year. But if for the value of being able to hold on to your money a little bit longer, schar agar nitirusa, right? The value of being able to hold on to your money for a little longer, so you're going to pay me a little extra. You can pay a premium to hold on to your money a little longer, which is another word for ribbis normally. So why is this going to be mutter? The Gemara is going to have to explain. But that's the assumption. The assumption is that this is mutter. Next case, second case. Contrasting, machlo esadehu. What if it wasn't a rental? He was selling his field. Va'amarlo, and he says, look, if you want to pay for the whole field up front, right, you want to pay for everything right off the bat, so good. So then it's going to be yours for elef zuz. Then you can have it for $1,000. But if you're going to wait to pay me until the zman agoren, until the shas agoren, which is a later point in time, then I'm going to charge you $1,200. Not $1,000, but $1,200. Usser, that's going to be usser. So apparently there's a major chilek between a rental and a sale when it comes to a rental, so we assume it's going to be mutter to work out such an arrangement where you get a discount if you pay up front. By a sale, we're not allowed to work out such an arrangement where you get a discount for paying for a sale up front, and that you would have to pay more if you pay later on. We're not allowed to work out such an arrangement for a sale. Just interestingly, the Tosfos Yontif points out a diuk that I read the Mishnah a couple of times and I totally missed it. He says it's when we not only changed, what factor did we change from case one to case two? So the most obvious one, and the one we're obviously emphasizing, is that the first case was a rental case. The second case was a sale case. Tosfos Yontif said it's not the only thing that changed. Look what else. Hiskir lo es chatzero, machar lo es sadehu. We changed by the rental case, it was a chatzer. By the mechira case, it was a field. Tosfos Yontif says there's a reason for it, but that it has nothing to do with dinei ribis. The reason for that is that the Mishnah is trying to teach us something else, agav urcha. It's trying to teach us that when it comes to selling off your property, it's always better to sell your field first before you sell your chatzer. Meaning a person has to be able to prioritize what to liquidate first amongst their property in order to know what they need, what are bare essentials that they need to live with, and first get rid of things that are not as essential. This is a major, it's economics 101. I was talking to someone who works in the Eliezer project, and he was saying like the number one thing that they help people with is just telling them which bills to pay first. Just telling, a lot of people are just paying off credit card bills first, before mortgage, before food, before anything else, and they're killing themselves with that. But you have to know what goes first. So Tosfos Yontif says that's what he's telling him. A sada is something, it's your steachusa, whatever, it's your business, it's your, but the bias, you have to keep your house first. You have to have a roof over your head. So the chatzer, that's what you have to keep first. The Rashash brings a raya to this. Rashash, it's a very terse Rashash, doesn't really say many words. He says, Ayin Tosfos Yontif tiktuk nachon, he says, Tosfos Yontif has a great diuk over here, and if you look in Gemara Neirchen, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, you can see that Tosfos Yontif's diuk is perfect. What does the Gemara Neirchen say? The Gemara over there quotes the pasuk about a person who does business with Peros Shvius. And the Gemara says that first, what his punishment is going to be? How his business is going to go down the drain? So first it says that he's going to sell his metaltalim, chisimkru memkru lamisecha, kana miyada misecha, and we darshan davar and nikna miyad. The first thing he's going to have to sell off is his metaltalin. If he still doesn't do tshuva, then he's going to have to sell his field. He's then going to have to sell the steachuza. And then he's going to be mocher espeso, vishkiyim karbayis. So you see that's the derech. Why doesn't he sell his house first? Because there's a derech of what you sell first, what you liquidate first. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching me with this small diuk. It's pedagogically brilliant of the Mishnah to just throw in little details that are totally irrelevant to the halachas that we're learning to teach us other halachas and other midos derech eretz in general. So that's the diuk of the Tosfos Yontif. But anyway, primarily our Mishnah focused obviously on the difference between a sale and a rental. That when it comes to a rental agreement, you are allowed to take less money up front and more money if it's paid later. When it comes to a sale, you're not allowed to take less money when it's paid up front, more money when it's paid later. For instance, this is Meisim B'chol Yom, everyone does this, right? When it comes to a car dealership, you're going to finance a car, right? So if you pay up front, you pay X amount. You pay every month, you're going to pay, that's obviously you're paying an interest payment. You're paying a lot more. So that would be usher if it were a Jewish car dealer selling to a Jew, obviously, meaning they would have to work out some other arrangements. So anyway, Meishna Reisho, Meishna Seifa. Why is there a difference, though? Why by a rental it's okay, and by a sale it's not okay? Answers the Gemara, Rabba and Rav Yosef, Da'amri Travayu, Rabba and Rav Yosef both explain, Schirus ein mishtalem es ala basof. When it comes to a rental, when is the money due on a rental? The halacha is the money is only due at the end of the rental period. So if I rent a house per month, the rent is due at the end of each month. And therefore, Vahai kiven de lo matza zimni in the mikvah, lav agar natalei. What's the real price of this rental? If I say it's going to cost you $100, $1,000 if you pay up front for the year, it's going to cost you $1,200 if you pay month by month. It's going to be $100 a month if you pay month by month. What's the real price? The real price is $1,200. It's really a monthly fee that's only due at the end. If I want you to pay me up front, I'm telling you to pay me in advance. I'm not telling you to pay me when it's really due, and therefore, Meshavyu Dachishavyu, it's really worth the higher amount of the monthly fee. The Haida Kamala Imeakshav Atonosani, Hare Luchabasa Slaim Lashana, Ozulihu de Kamozilgabe. That which I'm telling you, you can give me $1,000 up front and that will cover you for the whole year. I'm giving you a cheaper deal. I'm letting you take it for a little bit less because it's not due yet. But Seifa, in the case of a sale, Kivan Dizvini Ninhu, Ubay Lemishkal Dami Meakshav. When you sell something, when's the money due? Right now, right at the moment of purchase, at the moment of the sale, you take the car home, that's when the money is really due. So what's the real price? The real price is what you should pay right now, what the deal is to pay right now. Hilkach agar natalehu v'asr. So when I'm telling you that you could pay later if you're willing to pay more money, so that's ribbis. That's paying money for being able to keep on to hold on to the money a little bit longer. And that's going to be asr, right? Rashi explains it. El lebasof lesof hazman. By the schirus, it's only due at the end of the zman. Ki shalkum minei sela b'chodesh tavlu shnei masor slaim. So by the rental, it's not called that you're paying for hanging on to the money, because you don't have to pay until the end of the month. That's just me being mochel. If I tell you you want to pay up front, you can pay a little less. That's stop me being mochel. That's also ma'isim b'chol yom that people do that with the schools started doing that with tuitions, right? That if you pay a tuition up front, you're willing to pay the whole whatever $50,000 you owe in tuition. That wasn't a joke for those from Israel. If you pay $50,000 that you owe in tuition, so you want to pay it all up front, so you'll only have to pay $49,800. Those are really the way the numbers work out. They give you like a $200 rebate. If you want to pay it all up front, so you only have to pay $49,800. But if you want to pay on a monthly basis, so then you could you can end up having to pay the full amount. Now, why is that legal? Isn't that ribbis? So that seems to be that's the schirus case. Because when is it really due? It's really due at the end of each month. The whole money isn't due. You haven't been given any services yet at the beginning of the year. The service is provided on an ongoing basis. So at the end of each month, that's when it's really due. And if you want to pay up front, so then they'll cut you a deal. They'll not off a couple of $100 off of the price. So that's the that's the Gemara's explanation of why it's mutter. Now this idea, what? Ah, that's a good question. As opposed to by a service. It's going to be on.
I'm saying the numbers. I don't know if there's no by schirus or not, but.
Oh, no, but schirus karka, right? That's a big sugya whether there's or not by schirus karka. I think that's a major machlokas, whether you say there's no non schirus karka, by karka by definition.
Right, over here.
Right. So, but yeah. Okay, maybe. Anyway, so the this idea that schira is eina mishtalemes ela basof, that schiras is only paid at the end, so Tosos tries to figure out what the nafkamina generally is for the idea that schira is eina mishtalemes ela basof. Meaning, is that it's a machlokas in Maseches Baba Kama, whether schiras is mitchila v'atzof or it's eina mishtalemes atzof. Meaning, do you incur an ongoing chov as you rent a field? So I rent a house, so every day I'm living there, every minute I'm living there, it costs me another few dollars, and therefore I owe that much more each moment that I'm living there. Or do we assume no? At the end of the month, boom, that's where your $100 is due. And up until that point, you didn't know anything. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether yesh l'schirus mitchil v'atzof or yesh l'schirus el basof. Tos over here says, that's not relevant to this concept of schirus in a mishtalemes el basof. The question of whether you owe the money has nothing to do with when you actually have to pay the money. Meaning, it could be that you can say yesh l'schirus mitchil v'atzof, meaning every 5 minutes, every minute that you live in the field, you're going to have to you're going to owe X amount more money, but still the actual payment, no one's going to say that you have to sit there with your landlord every minute, give him another dollar every minute that you're there. It's ein mishtalemes ela basof. It only gets paid at the end. Says Tosus, afilu man derom ba'gozol kamo bishmekadish ti yeshno schirus mitchil vatsof moda de ein mishtalemes ela basof kedi alef hachamikra. And we derive that from Pasuk over here. Vafilu man diyamar eina ela basof. And even the shita that holds that the schirus only comes due at the end, so you might think, wait a second, what if a poel quits halfway through the day? So if eina el schirus ela basof, so then he shouldn't get paid at all because nothing was due him. So says Tosus, no, moda de poel yachal achsor ba'vafilu b'chati hayom. He's moda that a poel who quits halfway through the day is still going to have to get paid for his half days of work. Ukshu chozer harei hu sof, because whenever he decides that he's going to stop working, that is his sof. So that's when it's due. That's when the money is due him. Sheinu rotzel asus malacha yosef. He decided he's not working anymore. That therefore becomes defined as the sof. Now notice what Tosus did. He said, okay, if the machlokas whether yeshen schlus mitchilu vatsof or ein mischlus ela basof has no bearing on when it's going to be mishtalemes, and it also has no bearing on when the poel is allowed to quit. So what does it have bearing on? That machlokas of yeshen schlus mitchilu vatsof ein mischlus ela basof. What does it relate to? Is there any nafkamina in that? Meaning, it's a nafkamina is not here. It's not about the poel being chozer b'chatzi hayom. So, what is the nafkamina? So he says, "V'lo nafkamina mehi plukta elo li'inyan kiddushin." So you know what the nafkamina in that whole machlokas is? The easiest nafkamina, always li'inyan kiddushin. But how so li'inyan kiddushin? Di yeshu mitchilu v'atzov chashiva malva vein mekadesh ba. If you assume that it's an ongoing chov that's incurred, so why haven't you paid every minute if you owe the money? It's as if I'm lending you the money. If I'm renting you my house and you're supposed to pay me $100 at the end of the month, but it's really a dollar every few hours, right? So why don't you pay me the dollar every few hours? Really, you owe it to me, but it's as if I lend you that money and it's only going to be due at the end of the month. If you want to be Mekadish Nisha with that, so you're not allowed to be Mekadish B'milva. But if it's not as if you owe me the money on an ongoing basis, so then it's not Mekadish B'milva. So that's one nafkamina. V'nafkamina nami le'id perakavim the Meseches Avodah Zarah. The other nafkamina is the Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, where he gil likipa shema amidin ba Avodah Zarah asul v'nosa. What if you were asked to build the bayis l'avodah zarah? And the way it works is you build the whole structure and the big dome on top, and then at the very top of the dome you stick the getchka on top, right? So what's the halacha? So he says if you do that, if you contracted to build such a place, it's going to be mutter. The schar, the money that you get, is going to be mutter. It's not going to be called money of avodah zarah. Why? I put up a wall, the guy owes me the money for a wall. I put up another wall, he owes me the money for another wall, etc., etc. As I start, is there any avodah zarah in the foundation? No. Is there any avodah zarah in the wall? No. Where's the avodah zarah? The last little bit, when I stick the getchka on top, that's where the avodah zarah is. That's where the yisur comes. Ve'emas mitzor b'makosh achron. Makosh achron, that's b'shavu pruta. And that little bit of work is less than a shavu pruta. So that's another nafkamina with yeshan l'schirus mitchil v'atzof or ein l'schirus el basof. If you say ein l'schirus el basof, no, all the money is owed when he puts that little getchka on top. And prior to that, nothing was owed, and then all the money would be aser. But you say yeshan l'schirus mitchil v'atzof, so the money is owed on an ongoing basis, and therefore there was no iser in the money until that last moment, and that last moment happened to have been pachas mishavu pruta. These are complicated shailas when it comes to building things for avodah zarah. I once got a call from someone in the neighborhood, one of the local rabbanim, asked me for Rav Schechter's number, and it was not a rav who you would imagine would call Rav Schechter for shailas. And I asked him why he needs Rav Schechter's number. He said that he got a call from a woman who was asked to be who won the contract to build Mel Gibson's church in California or something. He was building a church, and she wanted to know whether she could, or the architect, they wanted to know whether she could be the architect. And so he said, I figured Rav Schechter is the biggest bucky I know in the halachas of Avodah Zarah. And I never knew him as a bucky. I mean, he's a bucky in everything, but I never would have associated Dafka with the halachas of Avodah Zarah. But anyway, so these are shailas that come up. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara Vayter. So, Amar Rava, Dakubar Rabbanan Baham Milsa V'ukmu Akra That the Rabbanon look to try to find out where this halacha, where you find that this is true, that when it comes to a sale, so that's obvious, that's a svar, that when it comes to a sale, when's the money due? Right up front, as soon as you take home the purchase. But when it comes to a rental, that it's only due at the end of the time period, so they try to find where you find such a halacha. So they darshan from Pasuk. Pasuk says, Kishir shana b'shana, so we darshan that shana b'shana means that the schirus of one shana is only due by the beginning of the next shana. So that's the drasha. Tosfos points out that we don't always make that drasha. Very often you'll find in Tanakh the word shana is repeated, and we don't always make that drasha that it means that it goes to the next year. He says in Tomer the Perek Beit Bechoros, we find in Maseches Bechoros Tashinan de ein tormin min achadash al yashan mishum dechsev shana shana de mashma osa shana atzma. Adraba, we find that you're not allowed to be mafrish from 1 year on the previous year because it says shana shana, which means each year you have to be mafrish on its own. But wait a second, according to what our Gemara is darshaning, shouldn't we say the opposite? That shana shana teaches me that it goes into the next year, that you don't have to pay until the next year? So he says, no, v'yeshlamer dehasim ksiv shana below beis. It says shana shana. V'hacha darshin midichsiv shana b'shana, b'beis. That the payment for this year is bishana. It's not going to be in this year, it's going to be in the next year. Shana shana just means you go year by year, right? That each year is an independent unit, and you have to pay for each year on its own. You have to be torim from each year on its own. So Tosfos, we don't have time, but Tosfos goes on to point out that it doesn't seem to fit in every sugya either. Okay, let's move on. V'im l'gorin b'shneim asr mana asr. Right, so the Mishnah said that if I'm going to tell the guy, if you want to pay for it straight up right now, so it's going to cost you $1,000, but if you want to pay me at the Shas HaGoren, at a later date, it's going to cost you $1,200, that deal is usher. So the Gemara is going to have something called a Tarsha. We'll see what a Tarsha is in a moment, but we're going to have three forms of it, Rav Nachman, Rav Papa, and Rav Chama. So let's start. I'm Rav Nachman, Tarsha Shari. Rav Nachman says, a tarsha is mutter. My definition of tarsha is mutter. What's a tarsha? So says Rashi, limchar schora b'hamtana b'yosum idameha ublvad shalo yifari shlo imme ach shavere l'cha b'pachos el yimchar stam b'kach v'kach li'om ploni. Meaning, our Mishnah says, I'm not allowed to sell you something and tell you that it will cost you $1,000 if you pay today, $1,200 if you pay in 6 months from now. Says Rav Nachman, you know what you are allowed to do? You're allowed to say, here, I'm selling you something, pay me $1,200 in 6 months from now. Now, it could be that if you were to pay me now, it would only cost you $1,000, but I never said that. I never said what it would cost if you pay me now. I'm just telling you, pay me $1,200 in 6 months from now. I'm telling you that it's not due for another 6 months. You can hang on to the money for 6 months. When it's due, it's going to be $1,200. As long as I don't specify that right now it's going to cost $1,000, then we're good. Then that's going to be mutter. That's from Nachman's Chiddush. There's a big machlokes rishonim what the etymology of the word tarsha is. Whatever it is, that's what it means. That's the deal. Tarsha is mutter. Esve Rami Bar Chama L'Rav Nachman Vami L'Rav Ukva Bar Chama L'Rav Nachman Vim L'Gorim B'Shnei Masor Mana Aser. Isn't that against our Mishnah? Because doesn't our Mishnah say that if you tell the guy that if you pay at the Shas HaGoren it's going to cost you $1,200, that that's Aser? So he says, no, the obvious difference is Amalei Hasam Katzlei Hachlo Katzlei. In our Mishnah, you establish that if you pay right now, it's only going to cost you $1,000. By the case of Rav Nachman, you never said anything about what it's going to cost right now, and therefore it's going to be mutter. That's Rav Nachman's din. Again, the Gemara is not yet paskind. Rav Nachman taught us one case of Tarsha. Amar Rav Papa, and try to keep in mind which one is worse than the other as we go through the Tarshas. Which one are we more likely to be Mekel with, and which ones are we more likely to be Machmir with? Amar Rav Papa, Tarsha Didi Shari. Says, I don't know about Rav Nachman's Tarsha. My Tarsha is Mutter. Mine is for sure Mutter. What was Rav Papa's Tarsha? So it's interesting. The Gemara never says. You would imagine that something like that, it's just, the Gemara assumes it's common knowledge how Rav Papa's Tarsha worked. So Rashi has to fill us in that Rav Papa was a beer brewer, and that's how he made his money. He was a very wealthy beer brewer. He made a lot of money. And part of the way he made so much money was because he wasn't in a rush to receive payment. So the prices of beer fluctuated widely between Tishrei and Nisan. And if you were to sell beer in Tishrei, you'd get a cheaper price for it. If you sell it in Nisan, you'd get a higher price for it. Rav Pup would sell beer in Tishrei, and he would say, pay me in Nisan for the Nisan prices. And he said, that's mutter. I'm allowed to provide the product in Tishrei when it should cost less, and tell the buyer, look, you want to buy my product, pay me in Nisan at the Nisan prices. Don't pay me now at today's prices, pay me in Nisan at the Nisan prices. And Rav Papa says, that's mutter. My taima, schari lo pasad. He said, look, I can hang on to the beer. I don't need to give the beer to this guy. Shechroi lo pasad. My beer is going to be fine. My shechar is totally fine, and I'm in no rush to sell it. If I want, I can hang on to it until Nisan and sell it in Nisan for the higher price. Zuzi lo tzurich, I don't need the money right now. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm doing this guy a favor. I could just wait till Nisan and sell it to him at the higher price. He needs it now. He's making a chasna, whatever. He's making a shalom zachar. He needs the beer. So I'm giving him the beer right now. But I'm doing him a favor. I would have been very happy to keep this beer, hang on to it, sell it in Nisan at the higher price. So therefore, I know I'm doing him a favor. There's nothing wrong with that. You're looking at it from the wrong perspective. Why are you only looking at it from your own perspective? Zil basar d'tu, look at it from the purchaser's perspective. If he had cash right now, do you think he would buy from you? If he had cash right now, he would go to someone who's selling it at today's prices, at the cheaper prices. Since he doesn't have cash right now, he's going to pay a premium. He's going to pay a higher price. That's ribbis. If a guy has to pay a higher price because he's not paying up front, so the time value of money, is a financial term that means ribbis. So hash delas luzuze shakli kyukra del kamei. Now that he doesn't have the money right now, he's going to have to pay at the more expensive price that's going to come later. So it's a problem, they tell Rav Papa. That's the second kind of tarsha. Third kind of tarsha, Amr Rav Chama, tarsha didi vaday shari. My tarsha is for sure mutter. My time, what was his tarsha? So again, the Gemara doesn't explain, but his tarsha was as follows. That if there was a product that cost a little bit less money here and a little bit more money somewhere else, so he would sell the product in the cheaper place for the more expensive prices, and he would send the people to go to the more expensive place and sell the product there. And he would be mekabel the achrayus of the whole traveling distance that they would go from one place to the other. Like if anything would happen to it on the way, he would be mekabel the achrayus on it. So his argument was, I'm not really selling them the product here for the more expensive price. I'm really making them my shliach to go to that place and then buy the product for me at the more expensive price, and then they can sell it. And in that place, that's fair. Because I'm being makabli achrayus of the whole trip, so he says my tarsha is for sure going to be mutter. That such a deal is for sure mutter. My taima nichlu deleku bereshusi. They want it to be mine. They want to be my shluchim. Why do they want to be my shluchim as opposed to own it themselves and go to the other place? To kalhecha de kaazli shavkilumach. So first of all, I'm a rabbi, and rabbis never have to pay taxes. So I'll have to. They always got a tax break. That's gemara in Baba Basra. So I'm not making some snide remark, right? That's they got a tax break. And number two, v'nakadlu shuka. And the other thing is that nakadlu shuka, that that they would be machriz in the market that no one else is allowed to sell until the Talmud Chacham sells out all of his stuff. So once the Talmud Chacham sells out his stuff, so that's it. So then other people could do business. So they want that advantage to be able to sell first in the market. We paskin like Rav Chama's Tarsha, that Rav Chama's Tarsha is okay. The question becomes, what about everybody else's Tarsha? What about Rav Papa's Tarsha? And what about Rav Nachman's Tarsha? So the Gemara is going to say later on that less hilchsa kitarsha de papunai, that Rav Papa's tarsha is out the window. We for sure don't paskin like the tarsha of Rav Papa. The question then becomes, though, what about the tarsha? The Gemara never tells us about the tarsha of Rav Nachman. Is the tarsha of Rav Nachman better than the tarsha of Rav Papa, or is it worse than the tarsha of Rav Papa? So that is a machlokas rishonim. Tosfos writes over here, Om Rabbeinu Tam, dilchsa namik Rav Nachman b'tarsha. The halacha is like Rav Nachman's tarsha also, not just like Rav Chama's tarsha. When we say Chsuk Rav Chama, we mean la'afuke Rav Papa, but not la'afuke Rav Nachman also. We don't have time to get into the svaras, but you should know, it's a machlok is basically Tosfos against everybody else. The Ritva, all the major Rishonim, disagree with Tosfos in terms of where Rav Nachman's Tarsha fits in. Once we're telling you Hilchasa, Vilsa Krab Lazar, we also pass him like Rav Lazar that Ribbis Ketsutza is Yotza B'dayanim, as the Gemara has been assuming for a couple of dapim already. And when it comes to ribis ketsutza, you're allowed to take it away with dayanim. Vilksakraviani damer mali hein mali dmeyan. And we also pass on that kraviani that we had a couple of blood ago of mali hein mali dmeyan. New mishnah. Machlos sadam nasla mixes dam. If you sell a field and the guy pays up front some of the money, va'amalo emesai shetirza havei ma'os v'tolos shalcha. Whenever you want, you can come, give me the rest of the money, and then you will have owned the field with mafreya. Usser, such a deal is usser. Hilvo also they varmalo miyato notsin mikamat shaloshanim harei shali harei shalo. If a person makes a field of mashkon and he says, look, if you don't pay me between now and 12 months, then I'm going to take the field sarei shalo. So that field will belong to him even if the field is worth more than the halva'o was ever worth, even more than the loan was ever worth, which sounds a lot like ribbis. The kachay baitos benzonin osal pi chachamim, and baitos used to work out deals like that all the time based on the chacham allowed him to do that, to work out such a deal that if you pay me back the loan in time, that's wonderful, in the next 3 years it's wonderful, if not I'm taking your field, and the field is worth more than the loan. So it looks like ribbis because the field he's taking extra money for the loan. So says the Gemara, first in the first case, when it comes to the field where I say that look, if you pay for it right now, that if you pay me the you pay me a down payment, whenever you pay me the rest, it's gonna be yours lemafreya. If you don't pay me the rest by X amount of time, then this field will not be yours. In the interim, mi ochel peros. Who eats the peros of that field? So Rav Huna amar mocher ochel peros. The mocher eats the peros. Rav Anan amar meshalshanus the peros. No one could eat the peros. You have to keep it by a third party, because if the wrong person, if the person who doesn't own the field is eating the peros, and we don't know who owns the field yet, it's going to be a gloy milsa of the mafreya, it's going to turn out to be a problem of ribis. So v'lo pligi, they're in fact not arguing. Hadam luchi maisis kani. Hadam luchi maisis kani me'achshav. If you say, look, when you pay me the rest of the money, then the field will become yours, not l'mafreya. It will then become yours. So then certainly the mocher is allowed to eat the peros throughout the interim, because it's for sure still his. But if you say, no, when you pay me the money, then it's going to be yours l'mafreya, then no one's allowed to eat the peros, because we don't know who really owns the field. Sometimes they're both allowed to eat the peros, sometimes neither is allowed to eat the peros, sometimes one guy's allowed to eat the peros, the mocher is allowed to eat, not the lokech, sometimes the lokech, not the mocher. Ani Rava Basre, so Rava explained, when is it going to be that they're both allowed to eat it? When he says you're only going to be kona in the field the amount of money that you paid for, so then it's going to be the peros aren't going to be counted. Or they'll be chashbendin. When they're both going to be aser, if you say that when you give me the rest of the money you're kona me'achshav. And the mocher is going to be mutter, the lokech is going to be us if you say when you pay me the rest of the money, then you're koneh it, but not retroactively. The field is yours, and the money that you owe is only going to be considered a loan, but the field is absolutely yours from now. Okay, we're going to stop there. Actually, man tana shnei masurin, amar Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, t'lok Rav Yehuda, di Rav Yehuda, amar tzadach b'ribis mutter. The one that says shnei masurin must not be like Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda holds tzadach b'ribis is mutter. That if there's only a chance that there's going to be a chiyuv of ribis, then it's going to be mutter. Okay.